God does not choose you for who you are. Rather, you are chosen for what you can become. Amen?
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I am Deacon Bob Angelich, and on behalf of our pastor, Father Mario, our celebrant today, Father Christopher, we welcome you to St. Cyril. We are a church headed by Jesus Christ, and we will remain strong and faithful to his gospel. To anyone visiting with us here this morning, please feel at home, knowing you're always welcome here at St. Cyril. You know, regardless of the length, all of us have but one life to live. And you can spend that life any way you want, but you can only spend it once. And one of the most philosophical questions humanity has ever asked itself is, how do we spend that one life? What is its purpose? You know, the search for purpose in life has been debated and puzzled people for centuries. How many of us here today have asked ourselves these types of questions? What should I do with my life? What do I want to be? Where is the meaning in my life? And I'm willing to bet for a lot of us here, these questions have been asked at various stages of life. Now, those are all great questions. And there are plenty of places to look for answers. Walk into any Barnes & Noble bookstore, and you will see rows and rows of books on this subject. There are plenty of websites out there that will try and help address those questions. There is now an entire industry of life coaches dedicated to helping people with their life matters. Even the Kroger grocery store now is weighing in on these deep subject matter. Just the other day, I was in the checkout line, and there was the usual tabloid paper stuffed in the racks. One had a sub-headline on it offering up the 7 deep meanings of life. To be honest, when I saw that headline, my first thought was, all those years I spent studying theology were wasted. For here at the Kroger was the meaning of life explained on page 17, right after the article on Jennifer Aniston's Trials and Tribulations. No offense to the tabloids, or to Barnes and Nobles, or to life coaches. But there is a fundamental mistake made when trying to answer questions, what do I want to be, what is the meaning of my life? And that mistake is, those questions are all looking in the wrong direction. Those questions are self-centered. They are looking for a self-centered answer. And that won't work, because it's not about you. Somewhere in the middle of my theological studies to ordination, this revelation actually cracked through my own self-centeredness. I finally realized the true purpose in life is not going to be found by just looking inward. You know, it's not a matter of just self-determined personal fulfillment. But instead, true purpose in life can only be found if we begin with God. For we were created into life by his purpose, for his purpose. So the true meaning and purpose of life can only be found then by asking God the question, what is the meaning of my life? What is it you want me to do with the life you have created? And then we have to listen closely for his answer. And he will answer. Amen?
Amen.
Now, today's gospel story helps drive home this point about the true purpose in life. The rich man in the gospel story has all the money and material goods he could possibly want. He had so much material wealth, he had run out of room to store it all. So his self-determined thought was, I need to build more. The driver behind the purpose of his life was pushing him to continually accumulate more and more material goods. The driver of his life, the center of his life, was greed. But his earthly life was going to come to an end. And God, in no uncertain terms, tells him, your wealth means nothing. the drivers in your earthly life for all those years were wrong. And so it is with so many people today. The driving forces of their lives are often not good ones. So it begs that question, what is the driving force in your life today? And that question begs an honest answer. Everybody is driven by something. Everybody has things that are their motivators for what they say and for what they do. And those motivators and drivers, they can vary. For many people, it's the various emotions that they hang on to that drives their lives. It can be a feeling of guilt. How often do we regret something we've done in our past? And that regret and memory is still driving our thoughts and actions here in the present. You know, the past may help shape you, but you do not have to remain a prisoner to that memory, a prisoner to that regret. Learn from it, but move on. One set of common emotional drivers in the lives of so many people is anger and resentment. People will get hurt in life, or they will feel they've been given unfair circumstances. And instead of releasing that pain, they will dwell on it. They will replay that pain over and over again. They'll replay that hurt, that unfairness in their head over and over until that anger and resentment becomes a constant thought and it takes a life of its own. Then their day-to-day words and actions spring from that bitterness, and what comes out is usually not good. The wrong that happened and the pain it may have caused, that too is in the past. Unshackle it from life and let it go. Other times, fear can be a driver in life. Fear can be so crippling, regardless of its origin. You know, being afraid is usually a self-imposed prison, too. And it tends to go straight to our insecurities and our weakness in our lives, and it just takes root there. You know, being afraid will rot a person out. It may be the largest single reason people miss out on so many great opportunities and experiences. Fear should be faced. It should be dealt with and let it go. And another large driver emotionally can be the need for approval. Expectations of others becomes the drivers of life. And that's a tough existence when you're living a life trying to please others, for you rarely do so. And then the demands that you place upon yourself in that type of situation, those demands never decrease. Rather, they always seem to increase. Don't do that to yourself. Let it go. Guilt, anger, fear, the need for approval are all emotional drivers. But no conversation about drivers in the lives of people can be had without mentioning money and material access. The drive to accumulate money and material goods is one of the most common drivers in our culture. It is everywhere. It is continuously pushed at us that the path to happiness is through the bank account. You know, here's where we've come to in our materialistic world. If you have just $1, there are stores specifically designed to sell you something for that $1. You know, when it comes to money and wealth, the myth is the more one has, the more secure and happier one will be. And that's simply not true. Materialism has even invaded some forms of Christianity. You see in some TV evangelicals who continually equate faith in God to gain a material wealth. The push is that if you remain faithful, God will somehow reward you materially. Ask the original 12 disciples of Jesus if they were rewarded materially. One was hanged. One was banished to a Roman penal colony for the rest of his life. The other 10 were killed for their faith in Jesus. No new sandals there. No new tunics. You know, God is not a vending machine. You don't pop into your faith and stand there waiting for a material reward. Amen? You know, these emotional drivers, the urge for money and wealth, and the other drivers in life will take you down the wrong path. And that's why it's so important to ask the question, what is your driving force in life today? Well, I can't answer that for you. Father Mario can't answer that for you. Father Christopher can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that question for yourself. Now, the good news is, regardless of how you answer that question, where you are in life right now, you can always choose to recenter your life and let the driver become our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. From Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 to 34. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Seek first the kingdom of God. You know, hold that scripture tightly and put Jesus as the center of life. Let Jesus be the driver. Let Jesus be the axis around which your world turns. Now, it's not enough just to say, Jesus is Lord and Savior of my life. Instead, it has to be fully believed and fully lived. And when you put Jesus as the purpose of your life, not only will it shape how you live, more importantly, it will shape what you become. Amen? One of my former parishioners understood this fully. While cancer was killing her, and she was moving into hospice, she told me she prayed for a new purpose. And God answered. And her purpose was to die with strong faith and go home to the Lord with dignity and to let that show of faith be an example to her family. That was her purpose for the last 48 hours of her life. Well, please understand, regardless of where you are, Christ is the true center and the purpose at all times. And only if you accept that will you get clarity on the meaning behind your life. Now, doing so doesn't mean there won't be difficulties, there won't be pain or losses. There will be. What it does mean is that when they occur, they don't take over and become the drivers of our lives. Think of it this way. At one point, Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" "You are the Messiah, the Son of God, the Living One," Simon Peter says. Now, that's more than just a correct academic answer. With those very words, Simon Peter has recentered his life. Jesus is now the driver around which Peter will live. And Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." When we recenter our lives on Christ, we become a new person just like Peter, and we become rock-like also. We become the foundation, the rock, on which rests this church. And then through our lives, we reveal the presence and the glory of God. You know, recentering your life, life's purpose, that's not easy work. It means we must continually let go of what we thought centered our lives, and then instead seek the true center. And that true center, again, is our Messiah, the Son of God. And then the opportunity for recentering our lives, sometimes it can be obscured by the ups and downs of our day-to-day lives. But it's something we need to be conscious of, something we need to do on a regular basis. And sometimes we don't get it right. Look at Peter again. He is one of such weak faith, he sinks in the water. Oftentimes, Peter doesn't understand the parables that Jesus speaks. He argues with Jesus and gets called Satan. He falls asleep when he's supposed to be praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He denies knowing Jesus three times. But through these ups and downs, he persisted. And he persisted in recentering himself on Jesus. He was being shaped and formed and molded into the rock that Jesus knew him to be. And ultimately, Peter was shaped into being the building block for the church. That was his life's purpose. Put Jesus as the center of your life, and not only will it shape how you live, more importantly, it will shape what you will become, just like Peter. Amen? Amen. So I encourage all of us today, recenter your life's drivers today. Discover the rockness that Jesus knows you to be. Do not waste time on the past. Do not waste time on things that truly do not matter. Rather, live your life with hope for all your days. Love your neighbor as yourself. Care for the poor. Feed the hungry. Defend the oppressed. Offer forgiveness instead of anger. Pray when you are too busy to pray. Be confident knowing that death will someday knock you down. But through the blood of the cross, you have the power to stand back up again. Deny yourself. Take up the cross. Be the rock on which the light of Jesus stands before the world. Do this, and you will know the meaning of life on this side of the cross. Thank you, Saint Cyril. God bless you and your families. Never be afraid.